it don't sound real spiritual to say this, but I'm just being honest. You keep reading and reading and reading, you get down to Chronicles, man, it could really start to wear you out. Yeah, Mr. Spiritual. I would read it, but I'm just being honest. I'd be like, oh, come, give me something here. Give me something. And one thing I did, though, was make a game out of trying to pronounce some of those names. And in time, actually one time reading through it with the kids, and timed us reading through it. Yeah. But anyway, we have them here if you want one, but it goes Genesis to Matthew, Exodus to Mark, and back and forth. So you're always going back and forth, and it's just a great reading program, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I didn't come up with it. I've seen others who had other plans, but I did make a little bit of a tweak to it. You go through Psalms and Proverbs twice a year, and then through the rest of the Bible once a year. But with that, oh, by the way, you can go to bbflive.com and in our resources, click on PDF downloads, and you can download that on PDF on your computer. Amen. And you can start any day of the year, even January 22nd or July 22nd. But anyway, we're in 2 Chronicles 11, and we were reading this in our daily reading the other day. And we asked Brother John Allbaugh Sr., if you would read beginning of verse 13, just read 13 and 14.
And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. The Levites left their supper and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. But Jericho and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord.
You get that? God had established the priesthood under Aaron's sons, and the Levites were it. And Jeroboam, who's given the kingdom by God, turns around and fires the priesthood. It's crazy. It's just an amazing thing to read. Keep reading there and read verses 15-16 now, John.
And he ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils.
Oh, man.
Ooh. And for the calves which he had made. Oh, fine. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, said to set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem. The sacrifice of the Lord God of the fathers.
So all the priests have to, vacate and go to Jerusalem because, there were Levites in every town and they would serve in different capacities. But then you set this up and they're like, well, I guess I'll go back to Jerusalem. And so that's why when we talk about the southern kingdom, technically it was the tribe of Judah, but the Levites all ended up down there, and a lot of the Benjamites ended up down there. And so that's what happened as soon as Jeroboam became king. He's just making up his own religion and everything. Who's that sound like? That sounds like most people today. I mean, they're not Bible believers, and they'll tell you, oh, don't be quoting the Bible at me. And you go to their church services, and it's very little to do with Jesus Christ. It's very little to do with the Word of God. It is all about the human calf. The human being is the new calf, set up as the focal point. You listen to their music, they don't sing about the wonderful things about God and the truths of Scripture. They sing all about, has something to do with what God's doing for me, or who I am in Christ, and how I can do this, and all. I mean, one song was a big hit a couple years ago, You Are So Wonderful. I mean, it wasn't talking about God. And yes, the Bible says things like, we are wonderfully made, but that's still giving the credit to the Creator, not the one made. Yeah, Johnny?
What sums it up most is that there's all the verses, I don't know how many there are, that say people just doing what's right in their own eyes.
That's Judges.
Yeah.
There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's America. Isn't it something? So they went from priesthood to then the princes themselves. The princes were those who were in line for the kingdom, and they just made it up. They didn't follow God's word. In Pete Ruckman's commentary on the Minor Prophets, he says, just summarizes it very well here. Quote, Zimri, Omri, Shallum, Menahem, and Pekah, and that's all in 2 Kings 17, were man-chosen kings who obtained the throne by literal assassinations and political ambushes. Let me just throw this out there free of charge. This is from Dr. Ruckman, although I believe he would agree with what I'm about to say. Man-chosen kings today are called popes. And assassinations involve things like CIA, but it traces back to the Society of Jesus, better known as the Jesuits. And you'll find Jesuit fingerprints on all these assassinations and things. And that's all I'll say tonight about that, but that's something for you to bank and keep your eye out for and keep looking and keep watching. The scepter, continuing to quote the commentary from Dr. Ruckman, the scepter was not to depart from Judah. That's in Genesis 49. Therefore, the entire line of Israelish kings, I would say Israelitish kings, from Ahab to Pekah, was really spurious. It was man-made. Fake. And Deuteronomy 17:15 is the reference he gives there. Now, you remember we showed you this chart, which I based on Floyd Nolan Jones' chronology of the Old Testament, but if you can see that, we've got it online. You can download it in PDF resources, charts, and download it. But you see there's Jeroboam the second, and Zechariah, and then in between is Shalom, and then Menahem, and then Pekahiah, and there's another Pekahiah. There was all just one guy assassinating another, and then they'd go kill him because he assassinated the previous one and set up another one, and it just got crazy. But then they changed this priesthood and set up not only a new priesthood, but a new God. Small g. In verse 5, look at Hosea again. Hosea 8:5. The first two words, read them out loud. Thy calf. It just hits me funny every time. I mean, up above he says they of their silver and their gold have they made them idols. So what do they make? Yes. Thy calf. Out came this calf. That's right. Just like with Aaron. Oh, Samaria. You think about that. Isn't that something? Aaron, you know, was the first one to set up a calf for the Jews. And now his priesthood has been replaced and they're setting up a calf. He says, oh, Samaria, thy calf. I take this as God is mocking them. He says, thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. God's got a sense of humor. You read the Bible and you kind of loosen up and read it, you know, without with understanding and let it really sink in. There's a lot of times where God says things, and I won't get into all that. Sometime maybe we'll just run down a list of some of those things. Pretty funny. And he says, even your calf God has rejected you. But then he gets serious and says, mine anger is kindled against them. Yeah. It's a funny thing. Get it? He's laughing. And the funny thing is you go to places where you read about God and he talks about judgment and he tells you, I'm going to laugh so hard. You know something? God says, I'm going to wipe you out, and I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh. I'm just saying, you got to get rid of that silly Jesus thing we got and get to the Bible Jesus. you find out he's a lot different than a lot of the little fairy tale things we've read growing up and the movie Jesus is. Not real. The Kenny Loggins Jesus. You know, who was it? Brother Earl said that he changed all his passwords to Kenny. So now all he has is Kenny Loggins. Yep, 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 yep. Okay, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 13. I'm all right. 2 Chronicles 13, 4 through 9. And this is just another amazing thing here. But Abijah's going to set them straight here. Abijah's going to rebuke. It says in verse 4, and Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Doug, if you're there, read verse 5. You're not there? All right, Johnny, are you there? Read verse 5.
Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenantal salt?
Keep reading there.
Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord.
Now, that's exactly what we were just reading about, how he's rebelled against the Lord, set up a priesthood, now he's got calves. They're worshiping. Now, go ahead and read 7 there, Johnny.
And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand.
So he's kind of giving a little history in a nutshell here, what happened. And 2 Chronicles 13, 8.
Thou knew that thing to withstand thy kingdom of thy Lord and thy hand of the son of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you a golden calves which Jeroboam made you for God.
So now they have like a team of gods, not just a calf. It says, there are with you golden calves which Jeroboam made you for gods. And in verse 9, I think I would get there. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord? Remember, we just saw that. He says, the sons of Aaron and the Levites. Now, I don't take for granted that everybody in here has done a good study of that. And I want to tell you, I mean, once you really do a study of the Old Testament, do a study of this is all that laid down the groundwork for Jesus. And they're just throwing it off. And it says, and have made you priests of the manner of the nations of other lands, which is like the Roman Catholic priesthood, just anybody who wants to, as long as they meet a certain criteria, but it doesn't have anything to do with God. He says, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and 7 rams. In other words, if you got the money, honey, we got the time. The same may be a priest of them that are no gods. So national apostasy begins with individual spiritual apostasy. What you're seeing in America today started in the churches. And it started with the schools and the pulpits. And the perversion of the Bible, and has now infected the majority of the people in the pews, and it is now showing across the nation. So back to Hosea 5, he finishes in verse, chapter 8, verse 5. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? And what he's saying is, how long until they repent? Because he's been waiting for generation after generation. And the reality check, as was the case in the day of Hosea, Scripture indicates that few will repent in these last days. And I've tried to be kind about it over the years, but I've had to help a lot of Christians get used to the fact that we are in the day of small things. And that you do what you do because you love Jesus Christ. You preach the gospel because you love Jesus Christ. You love souls, but you do it because you love Jesus Christ. Because in this day, very few of those souls appreciate what you're delivering to them. And we're getting pretty close where I think they're going to start killing the messenger. So verse 6 then says, "For from Israel was it also, the workman made it, therefore it is not God." Now does that make sense, Johnny? You made the thing you're worshiping. That makes no sense. We worship our Creator, amen?
Amen?
If it's something we had created, I would not bother. I'd probably be smoking dope or something. Don't look at me all sanctimonious. I'm here to tell you, what else would there be? If our God is not the God, let's just all go get high. That's nicer than some of the old preachers used to say it. But it's true. I mean, I'm amazed at these people who bother playing church and they don't even believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. What a waste of time. And it's beyond all common sense. There are millions of people in places like India and millions of Americans who are praying to St. Michael and Mary and whoever, little statues that men have made. You're like, it's man-made. It cannot be God. I love that. The workman made it. Therefore, it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. By who? The real God. Who's going to come back and destroy this garbage being set up by these libtards in America today? Jesus is going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We're not forming a militia. That's nothing like that. But Jesus is going to return, and all of this nonsense on your news media and in your schools and being established across the world, this global sheeple who are all following everything they're told to do, and they're going to take the mark, and they're going to worship the beast, and they're going to go to hell. The calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces by the living and true God. That's who.
Amen.
And the fact is, anyone walking away from God and His Word for any reason is just as foolish as someone who carves a little doll and then sticks it on a thing and burns incense and crosses themselves and prays to it and all that stuff. Doesn't matter, you can be that goofy or you can just go to an AA meeting and say, "My God, my higher power is a light bulb right there." I mean, you go to AA meetings. You pick your God, you make Him up. Well, you say, that's crazy. That's what most Americans do. They don't go to the God of the Bible. They make one up. Yeah. And it's foolish. For they have, read verse 7, for they have sown the wind. Go ahead and read verse 7 with me again. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. In other words, Israel is about to be utterly destroyed like a barn in a tornado. You ever seen a tornado, about an F3, F4, hit a barn? That's the whirlwind. When you read about whirlwinds in the Bible, it's talking about tornado. What do they call them over? Is that what they call a hurricane and a typhoon usually produce those as well. Cyclone, that's what they call them over in the east. And I don't mean the east side of Columbus. I mean like, you know, eastern part of the world. And I want to close by looking at this. I went a little long, I think. But Proverbs 1, we talked about earlier that there's no second chances after you die. But there's also such a thing as reaching a point of no second chance in this life. And in Proverbs 1, really reading verses 20 through 33 for the full context, but to cut it down a little bit for the sake of time, verse 24. And he says, verse 23, he's calling on, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. He's trying to woo them in. He's saying, I will make my words known unto you. Then verse 24, he says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Now he's going to repeat this over and over where he's tried. Look at verse 25. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. There it is, what I was talking about earlier. Read verse 26 out loud. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Read 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as what?
Whirlwind.
When distress and anguish cometh upon you. People, I know it sounds better in our ears to say that as long as you have breath, you can turn to the Lord. But that's not really true. What we ought to be warning people is, don't play with fire. You can say no one too many times, and before you're even dead, God hands you over. We just read it here. We've read it in Romans 1. Yeah, Romans 1. Yeah. And you saw it in different people and different characters in the Scripture and so forth. Now read verses 28 and 29. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Your Honor, I rest my case. In reference to end times, after two-thirds die, Jesus returns and the surviving third will know Him. Remember we read that in Hosea 8, verse 1, 2, and 3 there, where they'll say, I know you, God. Well, that's going to happen at the end of the tribulation, but only after two-thirds of the Jews are killed. And we got time. Zechariah 13. 13:8. And 9. If you're there, go ahead and read 8 with me. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. There you go. This is talking about, you can read the whole context, but this is talking about Israel at the return of Jesus Christ, the return of Messiah here in Zechariah. Two-thirds are dead. And then one-third remain. And look what it says in verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So as the musicians come forward, and I just want to say, isn't it nice to not be alone in this fight? You look around in this building right now, not only do we see one another, but we know that we have folks online, some of whom would like to be with us but can't be. You know, I know, if it worked, Martha's with us. We've just got the folks from Michigan who told us they're watching. We didn't even know they're watching. We got people all over the world who tune in live stream, and then I get emails if something happens and it doesn't get uploaded so they can watch it later in places like Australia. They're probably asleep right now. Then they wake up and watch it. Then we upload the edited version, and then it goes on the local radio station, and then it goes on bbfohioradio.com. And I hear from people all the time. It's just, and I'm thinking, what a wonderful thing. I mean, in some cases it's sad they're listening because they're not being fed by a local church, a local pastor.
Amen.
But what a wonderful blessing it is for that fellowship.
Amen.
And then not only that, there are people who aren't able to watch online tonight because they're having to work and that sort of thing and couldn't be here, but we know they would be. Then we got, you know, Velma. She'd love to be here. And other people. And then when you see him, it's like you saw him last week. What a sweet fellowship. What a shame when you see people walk away from that. When you see people just throw it away and take it for granted. But what a blessing it is for those of us. And that's why I say be thankful for the fellowship of the saints. Don't take it for granted. And, you know, I've told people, if people say, well, I don't know, I got my issues. Join the club. We all got issues. And I've had trouble in my, well, we all have trouble. What we're here for is to pray for one another, love one another, and put up with one another.
Amen.
That's what families are supposed to do. Yeah. Yeah, did you want to say something?
Yeah, the radio station is 24/7. The online is 24/7. I mean, people don't really have an excuse.
Just the other day, the BBFI radio, internet radio station, 250 people listening. Jenny was checking it the other day. I mean, it's just, you know, little as much when God is in it. And you know what? Your part is same as mine.
Amen.
Be faithful.
Amen.
Pray. Continue to. We're getting ready to stock this up again. Thankfully, it gets depleted every once in a while. Giving away the gospel tracts. And somebody here, I don't know if it's one of you or not, but we got a letter last week from a lady down the road thanking us. Someone just gave her one of those little John 3:16 cards. Amen. And it was an encouragement to her. And she wrote a letter to thank us for that.
Amen.
Wow. And then we hear from people. I got a letter about 3 weeks ago from a lady in Chicago. And she asked how we got her address. I said, you know, we didn't get your address. I called her. She gave her phone number. I said, we didn't get an address. She'd been getting tracts. And it had our church information on it. And she's like, you're in Ohio. How did you? I said, everybody somewhere up there in Chicago loves you enough to give you the gospel.
Sing along. That's important.
Oft times the days change long.